This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. With me today are Mark A. Michaels and Patricia Johnson. They are the authors of the award-winning book, The Essence of Tantric Sexuality. A devoted married couple, they've been teaching Tantra together since 1999, and are senior students of Dr. John Mumford, Swami Ananda Kapila, I'm sure he'll do it right for me in a moment, Saraswati, who has named them his lineage holders for America and Europe. And they recently released a fabulous book, which we're going to be talking about today with some very special keys, Tantra for Erotic Empowerment. And this one just won the USA Book News Award in Sexuality and is a finalist in Eastern Religions.
Well, I think that so many people in relationships have a lot of unconscious boundaries that they never discuss with their partners, that they never really explore. A lot of lovemaking is sort of based on assumption and sort of rote behavior or socially learned behavior. You know, find this thing that's either something you've desired and refused yourself, or that you realize is a taboo. And then, with intention and consciousness, go out there and violate that taboo or break that personal boundary.
And then the most important thing is to really be aware and see what it feels like. Collect your data. Just aware of all aspects of what that experience gives you.
Welcome, Mark and Patricia.
Hi. Great to talk to you again.
It's lovely to talk to you again after about a year. I think we'll have a yearly interview with you because you're always growing and expanding. And we're going to be talking about expanding today, something about expanding in Tantra. And that's just one of the chapters in their fabulous book, The Tantra for Erotic Empowerment on Paradox, Sexuality, Spiritual Sexuality, Pleasure, Desire, Bliss, Reverence, Imagination, Transformation. Ooh, we could talk about all of these. We're going to be a little edgy and go directly to Chapter 9, which is expansion. And I love the way that you language this as fearlessness, a sense of taboo breaking. And what is that? There's a word. There's a Sanskrit word for that, correct? And what is that, and how do you define that?
Yeah, there's a Sanskrit word, agora. And actually, there's a whole school of Tantra, a sect known as the Agori sect. And agora means without fear. And what the Agoris in India do, now this is not our lineage, but we've been exposed to it, and it really applies to any aspect of Tantra. They do very, very extreme practices that Westerners would often find quite disturbing. That can include meditating in cremation grounds and things like that. And it's all designed to break down the barriers that we see between the sacred and the profane, and to find the sacred in the things that may be seen as the most frightening and the most profane.
And also achieve a sense of non-duality.
And that's that sense of, I think of it as the unconditional and loving acceptance and compassion for the all.
Well, sure. And the interesting thing is that here the way to achieve that is through pushing oneself into experiences that are definitely well outside of the comfort zone, certainly of society in general, but also really the key is to find the places in your own life where you have edges and to move into pushing those edges.
So we often give a lecture. This is one that accompanies our book signings and book tour, and this is one of the topics we address, and that's taboo breaking. And it's very interesting how people react, because sometimes I think when people think of breaking a taboo, they think of maybe shocking society or shocking themselves. That is a factor, shocking the self, but just shocking society for shock's sake is not exactly what we're talking about.
We kind of did that when we were teenagers, you know, and it's not about what other people think of you. The challenge is that in traditional India, you know, there are very, very set rules about what's taboo and what's not. It certainly, historically, even that was even more true. This Hindu society is really governed by a lot of different taboos, including taboos about caste, about what you eat, and those rules and taboos are very, very clearly defined. The same is true in Western society for millennia, but today our culture is so diverse and there are so many different things that we're exposed to that there aren't these clearly defined social taboos.
So in other words, a taboo that a tantric practitioner in India might choose to break may not make any, have any effect to a Westerner. One example of this would be to eat meat. I guess depending on if you were a strict vegetarian, but it's something.
But
you
broadly
can,
in the culture, that's not a taboo.
Yeah, it's something you can go to a restaurant, order a steak or whatever. Nobody's going to look at you cross-eyed. So let me
just interrupt you for a second because you know my heart's beating a little faster. I was raised in the Midwest. There's a part of me that thinks, does this mean that I have to give up my core values? Does this mean that I have to give up my acceptance within society, that I'm going to be doing these things that no one's going to want to speak to me ever again, and I'm going to lose self-respect? That's not what we're talking about, right?
No, and those are very good questions. The purpose for all of this is for you to actually arrive to a true core value rather than something that's received knowledge. And what we address often is this concept of morals versus ethics.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting and very important distinction to be made there. Morals, the word moral was a Latin translation originally of the Greek word ethos. But the Latin word and the roots of the Latin word really relate to custom, and it can be translated as custom of the place.
So in other words, it's just doing what the Joneses do, you know, and being, you know, modeling your life as pretty much everyone in society.
Now, the word ethos, the Greek word ethos, and don't ask me how this evolved, I'm not an etymologist, but the origins of the Greek word ethos are in the Sanskrit word swa, which is also the root of the word swami, and it really implies, and swami translates as one's own master. So, and swa is one's own.
That's very different. Those are two very different things. One is I'm following the customs almost blindly in that of my neighborhood or of my PTA or I maybe don't even like them, but I'm following them anyway. And then the other, you know, that would be moral, the way that this concept of morals is defined in Latin. And then in ethos or swa, it sounds like I'm really going very deeply into what's true and right for me, in the deepest level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the best way to discover this is to sort of look inside and really find places of resistance or places where you don't feel so free. Like you think, oh, I could never do that. Say, go out in public and dance alone. Maybe for some people that's an internal boundary. This is something I never could do. And it's very important for people to sort of nudge and you know, maybe not in the center of the floor, but go into a corner and dance alone and see what that feels like. And you collect the data of that. You may discover, oh, well, I really don't like this, so this is why I don't do it. But you'll know for sure. You won't say, oh, I'm just someone who doesn't do this.
And it sounds like there's a distinction that you're saying here very brilliantly is the difference between doing something that's going to be harmful to yourself or others versus doing something that really maybe secretly you always wanted to do, but you're concerned that you'll look bad or you're you're just, there's that little concern about it, but in doing it, it's really not going to hurt you or anyone else, and it's a place to experiment.
Yeah, very much so. I think that in some cases it can be worthwhile to explore things that you're not comfortable with, that maybe you haven't ever actually felt that you wanted to do, but just in order to see what it's like and to discover what that means to you.
This is really, really an important aspect of it, because there's so many things in life that until you try it, there's this level of which we think we know ourselves, and our brains are really kind of stupid when it comes to that. And then there's the experiential knowledge. And some things, food, experience, you don't know until you've embodied it, for sure.
That kind of try it, you might like it kind
yeah,
of idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to talk more about this and maybe an exercise or a practice that someone could do who's listening in our listening audience after we come back from a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors, and a reminder to support our sponsors because they support shows like this continuing to come to you. And we'll be right back in just a few moments.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. We're with Mark Michaels and Patricia Johnson, who are the award-winning authors of The Essence of Tantric Sexuality and also the award-winning authors of their new book, Tantra for Erotic Empowerment. And we were just about to talk about some exercises to embody some of our more fearless nature. But before that, I remembered that I wanted to ask you what your definition of Tantra is, because from your lineage, you have a particular one. What is it?
Well, I think we're going to give you a definition and then a definition of a tantric practitioner as well, because there's a really nice thing that we've
yeah,
gotten for that.
Yeah, it ties into what
well.
We've been talking about.
So the definition of tantra, if you break the word down into its Sanskrit roots, and Sanskrit words generally have multiple translations, so this isn't, you know, gospel, and there's many different ways to define it. But what our teacher gave us is that you take the first part, the tan part, and the root. That's the root of the Sanskrit word tanoi, which can be translated to mean expand. And the second piece, the tra part, which also appears in mantra and yantra, is the root of the Sanskrit word triati, which can be translated as tool. So you put them together and you have tool for expansion. Now, the tool that you have is your physical body, your being in the world, your very existence. And what you're expanding is your consciousness, so that every experience that you have, everything that you do in life is an opportunity to experience this expansion of consciousness, if you approach it with the right attitude, which leads us into the other neat little thing that we have.
And this one came from a guru bhai of our teacher, Swami Ananda Kapila Saraswati. This is Swami Agyananda Saraswati. And he said the tantra practitioner is both experimenter and experiment. And we like to take it even one step further and add and laboratory. So if you apply some of these ideas of taboo breaking as an experiment that you run on your own consciousness along with your own embodiment to collect data, just to see what it's like to be in the world and
observe.
Okay, so let's say I gather my fearlessness. And I'm going to do this. Why do I want to do this? I mean, why don't I just want to stay safe and customary and in the way of existence that I've already been doing it, or already was told how to do it? Why do I want to take these risks and go outside the box?
To experience freedom and choice.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, and it's a little bit of a digression in a sense, but I think it relates. I'm not attaching any kind of judgment about anybody's lifestyle choice, but, you know, I think that generally speaking, people who are in monogamous relationships are in them because, that's what society says they should do. They haven't really freely chosen that.
Or thought through how to define what monogamy might be for them. It's sort of a given, yet it's not really clearly defined in our society.
So it's the default mode, and people just fall into it without really examining what it means to them. And when I first was exposed to the polyamorous movement, the thing that I found most appealing was that they were really thinking actively about what it means to be in relationships with people, and saying, if you choose to be monogamous, that's great, but it's not the only choice that exists. And it's really only within that ability of knowing that you have the choice that you can freely be monogamous. Because if you're just doing it because that's what everybody does,
you'll never know if that's really your inner truth or not. We're not advocating that people, like, you know, go out and, you know, hit some party, crazy party right now. But we're talking about really examining inwardly and really freeing up possibility of choices.
You know, they say the unexamined life is not worth living. And
hi.
I love that you're asking people to examine their own monogamy. I think after the 1960s, what we believed monogamy was going to be suddenly totally broke down, and our relationships broke down. And I think it is possible to choose to focus with one person in a beautiful way when that consciousness is applied. What are we creating here as in this focused way and not just doing it by rote? I love that. That's delicious. And it allows people to create marriage or partnership really vibrantly and personally.
Yeah, and we'd like to refer to that relationship as a co-creation as well. So that applies the same principle.
That's delicious. And I realize I got sidetracked here because I was longing for a practice to help our listening audiences, perhaps even to help me, do this sense of expansion on a daily basis, even, you know, try it on, look at it. What can you give us a tip, a key, a practice?
Well, it's hard to do a one-size-fits-all because, as we've talked about, this, we don't have these clear-cut social rules anymore. So it's going to be very individual, but the audience members each should begin with this process of a little bit of self-examination and to think about something that they've, as you indicated, something that they've wanted to do but they've forbidden themselves to do.
It doesn't have to be big either. It can be really simple. A student once just ran her experiment was to. She had a long driveway, and to go from her house to her end of her long driveway to collect her mail without underwear on, which is very simple,
no risk involved to anyone. Nobody had to know about it.
You know, but she found it incredible, really freeing and an incredible experience. So, you know, it can be very subtle and very personal. So that's an example.
So the first step is to examine this. The other alternative would be think of something that you don't do because it's socially unacceptable. This can be a small thing. I'm trying to think of an example.
Sitting on the street.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's something.
Yeah, or, you know, something like that, which maybe isn't illegal, depending on where you are. You know, just it can be something as small as that. I remember as a teenager, and this was more in the shocking other people department, but I had a mustache, and I shaved half of it off on April Fool's Day, and I walked around just trying to gauge how people would respond to that. Now, my mindset there wasn't great because it was really about being shocking. But the attitude that I had, which was to see how people react, is very much the kind of attitude that you want to have in this experiment. So step one is to examine yourself and choose, and, you know, find this thing that's either something you've desired and refused yourself, or that you realize is a taboo. And then with intention and consciousness, go out there and violate that taboo or break that personal boundary.
And then the most important thing is to really be aware and see what it feels like. Collect your data. Just aware of all aspects of what that experience gives you.
And, you know, journaling about this is a great way to you know, to hammer home what's happened and to keep that observer mind, the witness consciousness going.
You know, you remind me of something that my beloved told me about as a center owner in New York. He's out here now, but he said that he was a certified health counselor, yoga therapist, massage therapist. It was all about health. And he realized that this was restricting people, so he created a bad day where people had a list of things that they would never do, like he hadn't had meat in 14 years, or he'd never smoked a cigar, or, you know, things that a woman who was always neat, like she just had to put everything away. Her job that day was to just throw, you know, candy wrappers on the street, or, you know, and to just for a day try on what it was like to, in a sense, be bad, you know, be that thing that you wouldn't normally be. And they did it together. And so they all encouraged one another, supported one another, and then were able to come back together in circle and say, what did we learn from that? And that can be another idea for people is to institute a bad day among you and your friends or you and your beloved. That
could I would call it like a different day instead of bad. I know it's the joke. I get the joke and stuff, but just other day or a different day or something.
Or the experimenter day.
Yeah, that's good too.
Yeah, I like that. Because that good bad duality. We want to let that go. And I want to talk more about this and talk about how this relates to the Sex Tantra and Kama Sutra show, the sexuality part of this, and how we can expand into that after a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors. And we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex with Mark Michaels and Patricia Johnson. And we are talking about taboo breaking and fearlessness. And we've been talking about how this, in doing even little things, can enrich and expand our whole life and have us discover new things about ourselves. But I really want to talk about the even more juicy stuff, the sex. So how do practices like these enrich and expand our sexuality and our relating to one another.
Well, I think that so many people in relationships have a lot of unconscious boundaries that they never discuss with their partners, that they never really explore. A lot of lovemaking is sort of based on assumption and sort of rote behavior or socially learned behavior, and that can end up being very stultifying. And we have ideas about ourselves as sexual beings that are limited by all sorts of external expectations that have been placed on us since childhood. If you bring this attitude of intentional taboo breaking, intentional conscious exploration of your own boundaries into the sexual realm, you similarly become much freer as a sexual being, and in your partnership, in talking about sexuality openly and honestly, and perhaps choosing as a couple to say, okay, what are our boundaries? What have we not done that we both mutually agree we'd like to explore together? I think once you get into this couple realm, it can be a little bit more difficult because we don't want this to be about somebody's pressing their agenda for a certain kind of sexual activity onto their partner.
So it's not you do this for me and then maybe I'll do that thing you want for you. You know, it's not at all the attitude we're talking about. It's still that attitude of co-creation. So
like, what can we do together to discover something new and different? And, you know, for some people, it may be as simple as just leaving the lights on. You know, I think most people in the Tantra world, that's no big deal. But, you know, for a lot of people, that could be quite huge. Or, you know, doing something a little bit more out there. There's just any number of possibilities for what you could explore. You know, for some people, it might be just moving to a different room in the house or, you know, doing it in your car in some private place, or, you know, there's just any number of possibilities.
Yeah, and when it comes to the realm of sexuality, I mean, there's infinite number of positions, and you have your hands free, so there's even variations on your tried-and-true lovemaking patterns that you do like. We're not suggesting that people throw out things that work by rote, but to embellish them and enhance them by using this attitude.
So it's really a kind of another thing that we talk about a lot is having an attitude of adventure in your sexual life, so that when you're in relationship and you're both exploring together, there are just endless possibilities. And it's not about whether one encounter, you know, whether you have great sex this time. It's really about this journey that you're on
just
together.
Just to see, yeah, what can be discovered. I like to think of Lewis and Clark, you know. You're just the team going out into, wow, what will be out there if we try this road together?
I just had an intriguing notion. Mark, would you be willing to role play with me? I'm going to be the sort of hesitant partner, and I would love for you to be the more encouraging partner and help support me to this idea of experimenting. Would you be willing to do that?
Sure.
Okay. So, honey, you said that you wanted to talk to me about something?
Yeah, I'm really interested in just exploring our sexuality with a little more intention and awareness. And I heard about this exercise where you pick something that maybe you're a little interested in doing but aren't quite comfortable with, and you just try it out to see how it feels. So how does that sound to you?
Well, is this going to be something that you want to do and then I've got to do it?
No, there's no pressure involved. I think we might just talk it through and see what mutually is interesting to us that we haven't tried before. So I'm certainly open to hearing any ideas that you have. And you know, especially if you're a little anxious about this, I'd rather it come from you initially, and then I can tell you whether I'm comfortable with it or not.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah, because you know, I was raised Catholic, and it just sounds a little scary. And but you know, maybe if I could get a babysitter, if we could make love by the fireplace.
Okay. We haven't done that, so I mean that sounds wonderful, and you know, and the thing is to go into it and really just be open and curious and treat it almost like play, so that we're just going to discover how it feels to do that.
Just how different, you know, it might be different light, different, you know, sounds, whatever, and just explore. And everything's fine. I won't fail you. I won't fail you, honey, if I don't do it right or.
No, there's no right or wrong, and there's really no pressure. It's just about seeing how it feels, and I have no expectations from you on it either.
Okay, so if I end up not liking it, I haven't failed you.
No, not at all. And it's an experiment, and not every experiment succeeds, and I have no attachment to any outcome.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Patricia, you lucky girl.
Yeah.
I love that you just kept repeating that there were no expectations, that I couldn't fail. You know, if I were your beloved, I would just feel like there's such freedom to show up maybe in a new way and maybe even cry or reveal something that was a little scary where I was holding back, you know, something, maybe a fear about my past or my body that maybe I wanted to reveal but never felt the freedom to reveal. Under that really compassionate, we're just being curious, we're just experimenting, there's such an invitation to have something new and emotionally show up as well as sexually.
Yeah, and I think that's really the key. I mean, we've had a fair amount of experience with couples where one or the other partner is really pushing an agenda and wanting to explore in a way that makes the other partner feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's a prescription for disaster, because if it's not really a mutual thing and if the partners don't both feel equally safe, it just can become it can be a way that one person batters another emotionally, and it's really got to be this this joint thing. And that's why we talk about this adventure and the mutuality and the co-creation of the adventure.
You know, this is so important. I just want to give us a couple more minutes because this is coming up a lot in many of the couples that I coach, is this idea that one person has a quicker pace into adventure, into exploration, into something, maybe the wilder shores of love. And one person has a slower pace and or even a little trauma around going there. And each partner ends up feeling very depleted and unfulfilled. The one that has the quicker, faster, more expansive adventurous pace can feel so shut down and sometimes shamed, or like they're endlessly patient. And will their partner never, you know, come to this place of fearlessness? And the partner that's tender, maybe just a little slower, maybe sometimes wounded, can feel so unsafe. What do you prescribe for that?
I think going at a pace as the slower person is important. I think that the slower person needs to really examine and find as much movement that they're comfortable with, because I think what you're describing is something like a polarization, where one feels denied and the other feels stoic and holding their ground, and both partners are really suffering in that instance, and to take a little weensy step is far more important than trying to achieve this huge giant leap.
Yeah, and finding the areas where there's some mutuality is really,
there's
really
always
important.
Some point where there's a flexibility, you know, where you can try something new, and it, you know, it's not yet the threesome that maybe she's been desiring, but, you know, okay, in front of the fireplace we have it. So let's, you know, gradually learn what it's like to expand and explore together in relatively small and safe increments. What you're going to do is build trust amongst each other, especially in the realm of sexuality. That's a must if you're going to be a sex explorer, you know, and really, you know, look at your relationship this way.
I think another piece of it is that the person who's going more slowly, it's very important on that side that there not be judgment attached to what the other person wants, and not be any kind of condemnation about the fantasies or the desires that the other person is expressing, because that can be very damaging as well.
That sounds very, very key, so that there's that bridge of compassion for both sides. The one that is the sex explorer, the faster sex explorer, can have a tenderness for the one who is wanting to go slowly, and the one who's wanting to go slowly can have empathy and tenderness for the person who wants to go faster and yet who's going at a slower pace for them.
I think that last step is often missing, especially someone you're in relationship with, someone who's kinky or has a kink, because, again, society says certain, you know, as a couple, you're supposed to behave this way. This is what your sex life is supposed to look like. And if you're presented with a partner that you dearly love, but their sex life doesn't, their expression doesn't fit that mold, then society says you have the right to condemn them. But, to encourage that partner to learn more about the kink, maybe, or whatever, and, like you said, approach it with some tenderness and compassion, that's a huge, huge step.
Well, Mark and Patricia, I just want to thank you so much for joining us. I want to do the rest of the chapters. And it's such beautiful information to help couples harmonize, because it's very common that there is that kind of discrepancy, difference between pacing of desires and exploration, that you've brought us such a sense of supporting the exploration and yet bringing a peacefulness and a compassion to it at the same time. I'm just totally honored to have you on the show.
Well, thanks very much
you.
For having us. Can we mention our website before we
Please,
go?
Please, I was just going to ask you.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay. It's www.tantra. P as in Patricia, M as in Mark.com.
So that's www.tantrapm.com.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, our listening audience, for joining us as well. And if you want to find out more about Mark and Patricia, their bios, get to their website, get to their book, you can also do that through www.personallifemedia.com. You can email me there and find out about my coaching and services as well at www.personallifemedia.com. Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.